and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Renee Kranz, your host. Today on the show, we'll be talking to Eric Gallagher. He is the director of the Office of Youth Discipleship and Evangelization for the diocese. We'll be talking about how the young people are doing in this environment and what kind of programs and events he has in store for them this summer. Should be a great conversation. First, we're going to check in on Biblical Bites with Dr. B, see what's going on with the scripture readings today.
Checking in, seeing what's going on. Hi, Renee.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
So, it's Pentecost.
Oh, it is.
Last day of the Easter season. Tomorrow's back to ordinary time. But, so do you remember, remember last week you coined, I loved the phrase, do you remember your phrase? Yes, you're smiling.
Something about a wave of something.
The wave, right? So, the growth of the church from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria to the ends of the earth, okay? But it starts on Pentecost. So Pentecost, we're remembering the Holy Spirit descending upon the apostles and other disciples, and they're praising. And so the first reading at Mass today speaks about how there are all these Jews from all over not just the Mediterranean world, but much of, and beyond the Roman Empire too, for that matter, the Roman Empire to the west and the Parthian Empire to the east. Do you know anything about the Parthian Empire, Renee?
Well, it sounds Greek, but I'm sure it's not because I think it is. So,
well, I guess you're right about it's not. So you're right. We'll talk about it though. So we're going to go through this list of peoples, of nations, really, that's mentioned. This really, by the way, if you're a lector, this is one of those days you're like, I don't want a lector at Mass. Because at the end of the first reading, we read, the Holy Spirit had descended upon the apostles. At the sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused. This is devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. They were confused because each of them heard him speaking in his own language. They were astounded in amazement. They asked, are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? The apostles are from Galilee in the north, right? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God. So again, that's one of those times where just a bunch of names. Sometimes it's like the genealogy, you know, so-and-so begins, like, but just like actually with the genealogy, when you understand what's going on and why it's there, it really is very eye-opening. Similarly here, we get a list of mind-numbing countries, nations. What the heck's going on here? So, devout Jews from all these different countries gathered together in Jerusalem. Why are they in Jerusalem? Because it's Pentecost. Pentecost, we're celebrating it today because it's the beginning of the church, but it also was one of three major feasts for the Jewish people.
Okay.
And faithful Jews, no matter where they lived, if they were able to, they traveled to Jerusalem for these three feasts every year. One of the other ones is the Passover, which is 50 days before Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Pentecost, you know what Pentecost means, Renee?
No. Don't ask me math questions, please.
Five.
Phil says five.
Very. good job giving credit where it's due. Yep. Pentecost, five, 50. It refers to 50 days after Passover. We celebrate Pentecost 50 days after Easter. So many of the Jews who traveled from all over, literally not the entire known world, but what they thought of as the known world, came to Jerusalem for this Passover rather than going back home again and coming back 7 weeks later. They just stayed in Jerusalem. But where they're from, so those nations, basically it's Jews who were scattered throughout the Roman Empire to the west, the Holy Land and west, but the Parthian Empire to the east, which basically was what we think of as part of Turkey, but then much of Iraq into Iran, was the Parthian Empire. So for centuries, Rome, the Roman Empire and the Parthian Empire were sort of the two dominant powers of that part of the world. So for you and me growing up in the 80s, this would be like, we are from New York and France and so on and so, and from the Soviet Union. And so okay. it'd be like yeah. the Cold War, right? So right. you got people from all over. They're gathered together in Jerusalem. These nations, okay, great. So what? Well, this is the so what. When, okay, I'm not going to put it in question because the first time in
Scripture. Because I've already answered too many of them wrong today.
The first time in Scripture where there's a list of nations. A list of nations is in Genesis chapter 10.
Okay.
And the nations that are listed in Genesis chapter 10 are, accounting for the differences in time and how how the names changed, but basically it was the same areas.
Oh.
So Genesis chapter 10, the same peoples are listed as at Pentecost. And what happens in Genesis chapter 11? The Tower of Babel. What happens at the Tower of Babel?
All of the languages are basically divided.
Divide. So God yeah. comes down, and the people had spoken one language, but mm-hmm. he divides the languages after the list of nations is given. Pentecost, Luke tells us the same nations now are hearing, even though they have their own languages, they're hearing one common voice because the Holy Spirit, God has once again descended upon his people.
Okay.
And so now we have sort of a mirror of way back, the first list of nations, Genesis chapter 10, and then the dividing of languages. And now in Acts chapter 2, we have the same list of nations, but now the unifying of languages. Different words maybe, but they can all hear and understand. God is bringing his people back together.
So he's uniting his church.
He's reunited his people yes. from what was divided by sin in Genesis is now coming back yep. together in
to create the church.
Yep. Yeah. To create the church.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So Luke is you and I that's lost in us. We don't know who these names are, but for faithful Jews who knew their Bible, it's going back to the beginning and God is fulfilling his plan.
That is awesome. Best one I've seen.
Thank you.
All
I
right.
thought so too.
All right, on to our interview. Today on Catholic Views, we are excited to talk to Eric Gallagher, Director of the Office of Youth Discipleship and Evangelization for the Diocese. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Very good.
Good, good. You guys have been busy communicating with the youth online. You've had all kinds of different events. And in the last few months, how has that been going? How do you think the youth are doing with what's going on?
Yeah, it's been, for everyone, I think it's been an interesting time, but the challenge for the youth has really been just the unknown. I think high schoolers don't typically think about the bigger realities. I mean, some do, but they don't think about like maybe the dangers mm-hmm. or like they have those internal questions, but they haven't yet got to the point where they're really in conversations with people about them. So it's such an interesting dynamic because they'll have the conversations, but they're not having them regularly. So it's not like their friends talk about it. They're talking about what their parents did or what the thing that really impacts the youth is the stuff that has directly impacted them. So I know a lot of the high school seniors that it's this last couple of weeks has just been really hard because mm-hmm. it's the closure with school, it's their friendships, and depending on kind of where they're at, some of them have like summer commitments that take them out all summer. So even if they did have a chance to kind of reconnect with friends, now they can't because it's done.
Right.
And so I think that's been the challenge. It's been really interesting to see that move towards technology because I think one of the things that I've been so moved by is I've had a lot of meetings with youth online and they'll respond to like kind of the discussions or whatever we're doing. But when you kind of stop the formalities mm-hmm. online, they're so comfortable. Just like I'll be like, okay, we're done. And then I'll like, say, I got to get some other things done, but I'll let you, if you guys just want to chat for a little bit and I'll just put like, turn my video off or whatever. Or I'll just like mute myself and then they'll just start talking.
They're in their element
yeah,
now.
And they'll be like working on their homework at the same time. Or like, I remember one guy is one of the funny things was we invited Bishop DeGroote to come on with us in one of our youth meetings. And these kids were so comfortable on technology. This boy, set his phone down in the bathroom and started brushing his teeth while Bishop was talking to all the and they're so comfortable with it.
And they didn't want to not be part of the what was happening, yeah. I'm sure. So
they're just able to kind of like put themselves in both worlds. And where I think I'm just such a focus, like intentional person as to what's going on, but I've just been moved to see them kind of engage in different ways. And it's definitely just showing, I think, adults different realities of our young people and how they respond to things. But I would say just like most people, youth, there's just a heaviness to all that's going on. And it's just because we're all affected personally in different ways. And it's so much of it is relative to just to the personal circumstances. And I think a conversation I just had the other day with some youth, it's just looking around and seeing, I know the youth that was sharing was just talking about how they've been taking the pandemic very seriously and concerned because they have at-risk people in their family. Mm-hmm. And so that one of their biggest struggles is they see all their friends hanging out on Instagram and having fun. And but they also, this youth also recognized that those families aren't the same as theirs. And so right. They don't have to take it as like, there's not as much risk for them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just the ordinary high school life is kind of comparing yourself to others and what you have to go through. And just that growth that comes through that has been really
good. They might find themselves too now starting to grow up a little faster in that kind of scenario where they have to now say, okay, I can't have what everybody else has. So it's a little probably growth experience that they maybe didn't welcome or didn't want, but it's there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because when those support structures are taken out, I mean, if you're a high school and you're the only child or you don't have any really younger siblings, like when they were sent home from school, it was up to them to figure out and to have mm-hmm. that discipline and that structure throughout their day. And that does, it causes a different sort of growth formation for them. And so many of them are sitting at home alone and you're lacking the relationship, you're lacking the friendships, but you're also just lacking kind of that accountability, that support to what you're supposed to be doing for the day.
Yeah.
Which can be both good and bad, because I think some of them can definitely kind of derail and become lazy and complacent mm-hmm. with what they're doing. But I think some rise to the challenge and they accept it and grow as a result as well.
Are there some ways that they can use their faith during this time to kind of help them work through these things?
Yeah. And the question for a lot of them is, I think it causes them to question their faith even. Mm-hmm. Like, is what's happening, is there something behind it? Is there a greater purpose behind all this? Because if you're a young person that doesn't have faith and your parents are not allowing you to go out and hang out with your friends, but all your other friends' parents are allowing them to hang out with their friends, you can lose hope, you can get discouraged, you mm-hmm. can start to blame your parents and grow angry with your parents. Sure. But with faith, you recognize like there are these things in place that are intended to guide your life. So you can say, okay, I know that my mom is the person that God has placed in front of me to make these decisions. I need to trust that. And a high schooler who has a deep faith, although it's hard, will allow that to be an opportunity for growth. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I say with youth, but adults are the exact same way.
Yeah, for sure.
If we can recognize that some of these things are happening just from a bit bigger picture and just say, God, I know that there's something behind this. I know your hand is in all things. I know that you never leave us. If we can acknowledge that, receive it, and process it, discern it, then we'll see the light through it. Whereas other people, I think that's where we see a lot of the negative ramifications of what's happened is if you lack faith, you just go down into kind of this rabbit hole of just anxiety and anger and frustration, because it's hard and it's heavy, and faith gives us a place to kind of put that on the Lord's shoulders and allow him to carry it rather than us.
Yeah. Lay it down and walk away from it.
Yeah.
A little bit. So what are some of the things you guys have been doing to help youth? I've seen a lot of stuff online. Looks like you've been busy.
One thing is we noticed right away is we took advantage of the time that was available. And so like there were things that we had done that were so flexible and adaptable where we were doing like online discussions with youth, and we set it up in a way where none of these youth schedules line up. And so we did it so you could post kind of, if you were up at 10 o'clock at night and you wanted to participate in the conversation, you could. We're like with the group of students, that's a part of the kind of the main formation program that we do. That was kind of how we're doing ministry. When this kind of happened, we said, we can all meet at the same time because their whole day is more flexible.
Yep.
So they don't have to be at practice or they don't have to be here. They do have to get stuff done, but they can order things in their day so that they can be available. So we started meeting online every week with we have the Philothea School of Formation. And these are the students who apply to be a part of like the ongoing formation program that our office uses and assists the youth with. They started meeting every week, really kind of the week after the pandemic hit our diocese. We started meeting every week and we've just met online. And then we've just tried some things. I think my disposition towards all this has really been just to take advantage and utilize the space that is being provided for us and to try some new things. And so people just, we can't do certain things, but can we accomplish similar goals or still accomplish our mission in other ways? And so I remember the first kind of thing we tried that was diocesan-wide is we led this online prayer event, and we did this prayer of the Examine by St. Ignatius. And so we taught a little bit about the prayer, and then we actually led people through the prayer live online. And while I was doing that and leading that, I got a text from a student in our diocese, and their little sister was by the computer taking notes and praying this prayer with us.
Oh, wow.
And it struck me, like, this is some, the student that texted me, they had been a part of that. Like, they've heard me teach that prayer several times, mm-hmm. and I've prayed it with them several times. But now the way that technology is being used, we were able to reach even their siblings, like the bigger family. And I think of, like, even parents are participating in this. So we're doing the stuff these youth have been exposed to in a quiet, like, more secluded retreats atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Now the whole of the diocese is starting to see it. So I think what we've started doing is just testing and becoming comfortable with Facebook Live, things like that. I mean, this is the first time that my office, without the assistance of, like, the communications office, right. clicked, like, go live. And it's nerve-wracking. And then now, as we've done it for a month or so, we're getting more comfortable with it. So now I think the question is really looking ahead, like, where do we balance this? Like, as we head back to normal in some sense, what has really worked in this, and how does that fit in now that we are comfortable with both and we recognize the value of both?
Yeah. What do you keep using? And because I think there's definitely value in bringing the whole family into that, and, you know, why not continue some of those things, and especially the ones that they really enjoy, and work those in with the in-person things that will inevitably, hopefully, come back.
Yeah. And that's the challenge with the youth things is we've been able to do a lot through technology with their young people, but it's really because they knew each other before mm-hmm. that. So we couldn't have achieved that through technology first in the same way. So these youth know each other through our discipleship camps, through the Going Deep retreats, and just the various opportunities throughout the diocese. And technology is just a great way to, like, supplement that and allow them time to continue to be together.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've just joined us, I'm talking to Eric Gallagher, director of the Office of Youth Discipleship and Evangelization for the Diocese. So usually there are a bunch of summer camps and everybody gets to see each other. And how many of those events have changed, or do we not know everything yet?
Yeah. So we typically have Totus Tuus as our first big kind of thing that we mm-hmm. have to be a part of, and training for that starts this Friday. And so that has went through a lot of changes because the norm for them is the bulk of their day is spent doing vacation Bible school mm-hmm. in parishes. And in regard to just social distancing type things, to trust four college students to keep 50 children socially distanced.
It'd be a serious challenge.
So we did, like, look at all the options, those kinds of things. So that has changed a lot, and we can talk about that. The things that really haven't been decided, we also hold three discipleship camps throughout the summer, and so we're hopeful that maybe on June 1st, our intent is to make an announcement on June 1st as to what's going to happen with those, and there's an openness to wherever we're at as far as the state guidelines and such.
Right.
And we're talking to all the various powers that be to figure out what's possible. Can we do it? Does it have to be adapted? That kind of stuff. And then our teams also do lead three different retreats, confirmation retreats throughout the summer. And those are planning to go on as usual with variations, of course.
Right, right. Some protections in there as needed. So you mentioned the Totus Tuus program. Can you tell us what that's going to look like?
Yeah, it's been really, really great to be a part of the process of figuring that out, because Totus Tuus is a nationally based program. So we kind of submit to the guidelines of the Wichita program. Mm-hmm. And so we have to look at what they're doing. But with this, like, they kind of just said, you guys have to do whatever you can do. But they had a meeting with all these dioceses. So there's about 30 people on this Zoom call, and they all lead a Totus Tuus program in their diocese. And the question is really, like, are we going to do it or not? So, like, is each diocese going to do it or not? And if they do it, how are they going to do it virtually? And so there's really like two options. And I was a part of that call, and it was just such a different method of questioning that, like, the question I was asking is what can we do? Like, right. how is it going to be different?
Instead of should we do it?
Yeah.
And, it was more of how do we do it?
Because the question they came to with virtually is they said, the conversation was like, well, I don't think we can do this virtually. And so then it just leads you to a no, which is really right. discouraging, frustrating. And I think that's the reality with a lot of things that are happening these days. And that's just how it is. But I saw an opportunity because the core of Totus Tuus in our diocese is the formation of these missionaries. So we hire 24 Totus Tuus missionaries, they're college students. Totus Tuus for our diocese is primarily a formation program for them. Mm-hmm. So we started out saying, can we continue to offer the formation in prayer and teaching and giving these college students an opportunity to really grow in their own faith? And we first started by saying, yes, we can do that. Yeah. We can. There's a way to do training, even if it's online, and there is a way to do it from home or in host families. Ultimately, what we ended up doing was we met with parishes. We met with the missionaries. Like, I mean, a month ago, we didn't even know if our missionaries would want to, like if their parents would want them to.
Right.
So yeah, we ended up having all these meetings and just kind of feeling out, well, what are the needs? What can we do that wasn't possible before? How can this look different? And so the core of what they're going to be doing this summer, they are going to go through training. We're going to go down to Broomtree, have training with different variations of how to go through training now mm-hmm. with the different guidelines. And then we threw out the idea to parishes, would you be, just so that the teams are not going from place to place and they're not being exposed to such a diverse group of people throughout the summer, would you be open to hosting them for a whole month?
Right.
And about 40% of the people said, yes, we're open to that, which at first I was discouraged. And then I prayed about it for a day and I thought, that's exactly how many we need.
Yeah. Perfect.
So I started calling people and yeah, the decision was to let's start by sending them to the parishes for a month. Now, what do we do? We met with those parishes and decided that elementary is just, it's hard. Mm-hmm. We'll do something for the elementary kids. And talking to the youth, they love small group Zoom calls. They don't like big group stuff. They love yeah. the small group. They love it when there's just a few people. So our missionaries this summer, the core mission is going to be leading Bible studies throughout the diocese. Okay. And so we recently just announced that we have 22 missionaries and they are available diocesan-wide to lead Bible studies. And their primary focus will be on encouraging and inviting youth from the parishes that took them in. But at the same time, we're inviting youth from the whole diocese to participate.
Okay.
So they'll be leading Bible studies. Youth can sign up and be a part of a Bible study that'll meet 1 to 3 times a week for 3 to 4 weeks. And then if they want to commit to a second month, they can as well.
Oh, okay.
So really we have the capacity with our missionaries to lead roughly 400 to 500 students in Bible wow. studies this summer.
That's great.
And again, something we would have never considered before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then the other two things are kind of their diocesan-wide efforts, but on Sunday nights throughout the summer, we're doing family night. So starting June 7th, we have 9 weeks in a row where we're doing family night. That was kind of the mix of, we want to reach the elementary school age, but we also recognize that this time is causing families to like be together more. And we want to be intentional with what to do with that time, how to grow as a family. So parents can go on, they can sign up, for family nights and they'll be sent information. But the idea is at 7 o'clock every Sunday night this summer, the families would gather around and we'll kick them off online with like a YouTube live type activity where it's fun, just exciting things to announcements and little surprises and things like that.
Sure.
And then the parents will be sent information on how to lead their family through the rest of the night.
Okay.
So the surveys we did said, we don't want to give children more than a half hour to an hour of online stuff. And we definitely, for a family night, we don't want them around the TV for an hour.
No.
So we're gonna take them for about 15 minutes, do something great with them, and then mom or dad are gonna be in charge of leading the rest. And we're gonna lay it out very simply in a couple of pages to say, here's some questions, here's some ideas for what you can do with the rest of the night. And those nights will be focused on different values for the family.
Okay.
And then youth, we're doing a similar thing. Wednesday night is gonna be youth night around the diocese, and that'll be a totally online event. We've seen other ministries and such around the country doing a similar type of thing. But we're lining up really an hour and 15 minute online event that youth can participate in from home.
Okay.
And that starts June 10th. And again, every Wednesday night throughout the summer. And then at the same time, those teams that are in parishes, they can also offer things to the parishes that they're in. And right. so there's kind of a mix of what we wanted to do is those families who are able to, willing to get out and maybe start being together a little bit mm-hmm. more, our teams will help those parishes do some really clever events and be creative with what they can do. And then those families who just need to stay home, that there will be stuff for them as well.
That'll really push those missionaries, the Totus Tuus missionaries, to think outside the box and do things they really hadn't considered before.
Yeah.
Because they have to.
Yeah. It's interesting because the beauty of like our discipleship camps that I wish more people could see, we really have a creativity with our Totus Tuus teachers where we give them the floor to like, just do some crazy mm-hmm. fun. And their personalities come out and they just share their gifts of like their artistic, like creativity, their drama, things like that. And I'm excited because we're even waiting until training week to really get some of our missionaries to say, give us your most creative things. And these college students, when you let them go, they can accomplish a lot.
I bet they do.
So yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun this summer. And I think both with families being together and with the youth, it's just going to be a fun summer.
It'll be great. Is there anything else we need to know, or did we cover everything?
No, I would say for people who are interested, you can sign up. You can sign up through text. So you can either go to the diocesan website, sfcatholic.org/youth, and you can sign up for either youth night or family night, or even, I would say also with the family nights, we're targeting it towards any family. I mentioned we have this children thing in mind, mm-hmm. but even if you're just a husband, a wife, and you want to grow, we're creating it in a way where that's something we want to help. Even if you're empty nesters, we want something this, I think, would be helpful to them. So you can go and sign up for that. You can also sign up to pray for these efforts this summer. And to do that, you can text either Youth Nights to sign up to 84576 is the number, or Family Nights. It's one keyword, one word, Family Nights. You can text it to 84576, and that's how they get signed up.
That's awesome. How easy.
Yeah, we're trying to simplify. We're testing things out, trying new things this summer.
Great. Well, thanks for spending some time with us today, Eric. Great information, and it sounds like you have some really good plans for the youth.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. If you haven't checked out the new Bishop's Bulletin for June yet, you'll find a great feature on Catholic artists in our diocese, short bios about the two men who were just ordained to the priesthood, and a new monthly column answering your questions about all things Catholic. And next week on the show, we'll sit down with the newly ordained Father Michael Kapperman. So be sure to join us for that. Thanks for being with us today. Join us again next week for more Catholic Views.